This is 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Irirangi or Whaingaroa. Hello, kia ora, my name is Jason. I teach holistic health and healing, and welcome to Your Health, Your Choice, a show that guides you on your healing journey, helping you choose your own healing path. Welcome back to part two of my conversation with intuitive chef and founder of Conscious Eatery Bite Me, Missy.
When people say, you know, what's your purpose? Or I want to find my purpose. I think if you just want to find your purpose, you'll be looking for a long time, because I don't think there's just one purpose in your life. I think you learn and experience lots of different things, and your purpose could be being giving love and kindness to all beings. And you could just run with that. Mm. And then you could be already doing your purpose. Like I was talking to you the other night, and I was saying, well, I'm creating this beautiful food. I'm healing people's digestive systems. I'm helping people be happy with what they're eating and how they're feeling, and teaching them how to cook these beautiful recipes and things like that. And maybe that's my purpose right now. Maybe that is like what I'm meant to be doing this time round. And then maybe it could be something else later, you know. Mm. So I think people get so caught up in what their purpose is, and it really scares people that they don't know what their purpose is, because then they're like floundering. Mm. They're like, oh, you know, like I haven't got this thing that I'm working towards. Yeah. But it's like, you know, how you have goals. I always say when you have a goal, well, I call it an intention for me. So the goal and the when you're working towards the goal, it's like you're doing milestones. So you're always like, you're not way up here at the goal, you're doing a milestone to reach the goal, and then another milestone, then another milestone. And then that way you don't get disappointed because you haven't reached that goal in that certain amount of time. And you're always having an achievement of a milestone as you're going to the goal. Yeah. I think that's very important. I think when I was doing tutoring for a company that helped people get off the benefit and get into work, I was the employment placement consultant. So that's what I was doing. I was helping people on the benefit in a classroom, learning CV skills, interview skills, you know, confidence, motivation, how to dress and everything like that. And I was saying, an example was actually a lot of them wanted to be able to walk around the mount or walk up the mount. I'm like, well, maybe you want to set some little milestones, like maybe from, say, from the toilets to the mount, you know, like you can walk that far, and then the next day you can walk a little bit further, and then the next day you can walk a little bit further, and always have these little achievements. Because if you don't, when you don't get to that goal in that one time or whatever, you're going to be like, I didn't complete it. I didn't achieve it. It's like, it's too big.
Yeah, it's like success breeds more success. So if you just get those little wins, then you eventually get that big win.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. And I think the little wins obviously contribute to the big win.
Yeah, a lot of people just focus on that big win though. So even when they have these little wins, they don't appreciate or have gratitude or even celebrate the success. Yeah. I mean, there's joy to be found in a lot of, you know, in every moment really. And if you focus too far ahead, you'll miss what's in front of you.
So I flash back to when I was actually tutoring the class, and I just remember on the whiteboard, and I had this line going up, and I had a star at the top, but I had all these little stars off. You know, and these are the little milestones. And I was just saying to them, just make sure you have the milestones, because they're achievements and they're worth celebrating. And the big celebration is at the top, but even these little ones, they're all celebration, because they're all success and they're all growing and they're all getting closer to that that last goal that you're wanting to achieve.
Yeah, people think it's going to be like a straight line to where they're going. It's usually got a lot of valleys, a few peaks, lefts and rights, you know, a lot of unexpected events on the way. And then sometimes on the way to your goal, the goal changes.
Yes.
And then you need to be flexible and adjust, because if you get really attached and on the original goal, even though the universe or something is telling you, no, change the goal,
yeah,
that's where suffering comes in.
With the change of direction, you'd be getting to the same destination, you're just taking a different pathway. So, you know, you've still got the focus on that destination, but you might have just taken a left turn or a right turn instead of going straight through, because that's how it was meant to be. Because then taking those other turns, that might have brought you to other opportunities and other ideas and other experiences that you needed to complete in this lifetime for your learning and for your lesson to be learned.
Mm. I think at the end of the day, all of our goals are the same. Like it's peace, it's love and joy. But what that looks like for you could be a house, could be a career, could be money, could be family. And those material goals and, you know, goals with family and whatever, losing weight, all those goals may change. But behind them is that peace, love and joy. It's that satisfaction. It's feeling content with life. So it doesn't matter actually what the goal is. Hopefully at the end of that, it's that emotional feeling of being okay with your life and with yourself. But you can have that now, I guess.
Yeah, you could have that now if you wanted to have that now. I feel like a lot of people are quite hard on themselves and they're like, no, I've got to achieve that. I've got to get this. Just be present. Just take the time. Sit with yourself and ask yourself, what do I need right now? Just ask. Just sit there. What do I need right now? And how am I going to go about doing that? Well, like, where is this going to come? And it'll come up. I feel like when I go to make a decision, I'll always check in with myself. Be like, okay, how does this feel? And straight away, I'd be like, nah, it's no good. Or yes. You know, like that. That connection with yourself that a lot of people don't tap into.
Yeah.
Your intuitiveness.
Yeah.
Your intention of why you're doing this. And I think a lot, like when you go to do something, the intention behind it is massive. Intention is a huge thing.
Yeah, I mean, without intention, why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is because this is how I've always done it. But do you know why?
And some people are like, they learn to like just do it because they're doing it. But they don't stop to think, well, what is my intention? Why am I doing it? And then they just do it. And then they're like, oh, actually, that's why I'm doing it. You know, like, and it comes to them. But realizing that intention before you actually do it is going to be a lot stronger for yourself to grow and develop and learn.
Mm. How could someone practice increasing their intuition, do you think? Because, I don't know, you didn't always have it, right? It sort of came after your shadow work.
Yeah. Yeah, the intuition. I feel like it is just getting that relationship with yourself really strong.
Mm. So the knowing yourself, why, what, where, how, where am I going, why am I here? Asking those questions, having intention.
Yeah.
And that's like building that intuition muscle.
Building that relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
Because that is you. The intuition is you. Using your initiative is you. Like your heart is you. Like your, you know, all of that focus is you. It's inside of you. And it always is going to be inside of you. It's just, how do you tap into it? I feel like I've opened myself up more with being just more open with different opportunities in that as well. And really asking grace, God, light, whatever you want to call it, universe, whatever, and asking and being like, what am I doing right now? And why am I doing this? Like, how am I feeling about it? Is this the right is this the right feeling, or should I be doing this? And the more you ask, the more it gets stronger. And to the point where sometimes I'm like, before I've even said it to myself, I've already thought of it and it's already processed, and I'm like, okay, no, I'm not going to do that. It just gets stronger and stronger. It's like a muscle. It gets stronger when you work it, and working it is using it.
Yeah.
So back to the purpose. I think if you don't know your purpose, just focus on be kind and give love to all beings. And then if everyone does that, this place will be such an amazing place to be.
Yeah.
Until such time as when your purpose for that time reveals itself.
Mm. Yeah.
Then just roll with that. Yeah. Because that's a beautiful way to live.
Yeah. I remember I'm giving advice to like nieces and nephews talking about courses. What course should I do? I don't know what I want to do. Da, da, da. Pick one. Anyone. And on the way to that, you'll find what you need to do.
Yes.
Yeah. It'll come. If you don't know, just pick one and then it'll become clear.
Yeah, because when you start to open that door, then the opportunities start to come through.
Yeah.
It's not until you open the door that you're not going to get the opportunities.
You'd rather open the wrong door than not open any door.
Yeah.
Because then on the way you'll find the right door.
Because you're meant to find it. It's like that, you're meant to find it. You're meant to find what you need to find.
Yeah. So a question I like to ask, and I'm pretty sure I've asked you this before. Yeah, this is a self-awareness practice because we say this word and we don't even know, is it what I mean or is it what I've been taught? How do you define love?
Ah, yes, you did. You did ask me this.
So when you say it, what are you actually meaning? What are you giving? And when you receive it, what is it that you're hearing and getting in return using a word that isn't love? How do you define it?
So when you say love, I look at two different words for love. I look at being in love and love for the family and the friends and things like that. The love is, and with all of that, for me, is like a care and a feeling of, I don't want to say being needed or wanted, but coming together and sharing experiences in that.
So caring?
Caring.
Sharing the caring?
Sharing the caring. How do I define love? Like a happiness, a state of happiness. So when you feel love, like the warm fuzzies come over you.
So a warm physical sensation.
There's that emotional, like, this person really loves me and I really love them.
Meaning like this person really cares?
Cares, and yeah. There's that connection and I think of the words, but kind of more like the compatibility that you both share together and the synchronicities that you share together and the way that you are and connect with each other. I feel like that when you're sharing the same values, but when you're sharing the same thoughts and when you're sharing the same, that's like the whole package. I don't know.
So it's like an alignment.
An alignment, yes.
Body, mind, soul.
Yes, beautiful.
An alignment of connecting, like, yeah.
Yeah, like you...
Well, it's like when you love God or whatever you want to call this mysterious...
Higher power.
When you have that love and it loves you, there's an alignment there.
There is. Mm. An alignment, perfect. The alignment with the body, mind, spirit and soul.
Is that what you're sort of getting when you're giving it, like... There's an alignment with me and these people. And
yes.
When I'm receiving, oh yeah.
Yes. And I feel like when you have that, you really know you have it. Like it's not a wishy-washy.
Mm.
It's like
Like you see it as a sensation, eh?
Yeah, when I think about partners that I've had in the past, I've thought I'd love them, but they were so out of alignment with me. I was just wanting them to be there because of the abandonment.
And you weren't in the best healthier state of your,
no.
So you wouldn't even, they were in line, but with your
with my old
and now that
ways,
you've changed your state, your alignment with other people will change as well.
And I see that I met you, beautiful you, I met some other beautiful people, and you know, vibe with your tribe. I love that saying, vibe with your tribe. When you feel that vibe, that love vibe, you know, because of all those alignments that happen, you're like, whoa, like, is this really, are you really feeling, you know, like everything just, it just
it sounds
all
like
connects.
A flow, eh? A flow as well.
Yeah.
That's where everything flows. That's when there's love in the room.
Yeah.
Or love in the air.
Yes, alignment. That's a great word. Alignment, because you're aligning with all these different parts.
You know, love is everything, really, isn't it? Like, everything is love, and it's about, is your meaning of love similar to someone else's? Like, that's why some people stay in abusive relationships, because that's love to them. And that's what they align with. And it's not right or wrong, it's just what it is. And I guess why I like to ask this question is self-awareness. What do you actually mean? Is it true what love means to you right now? Yeah, but no, that's a beautiful, beautiful definition. What about the opposite? Well, some say it's the opposite. I personally think it's something else, but fear.
Fear.
What comes up with you with fear? Like, well, you know, there's false evidence appearing real.
Fear is courage becoming known.
Yeah.
Fear is courage becoming known. So for me, fear. Feel the fear and do it anyway. The fear is out of the comfort zone, and nothing ever good came from comfort zones. So when I feel the fear, I know that it transmutes into courage. So it's not actually fear, it's courage. You need courage to do something. You fear something,
which causes you to pause and stop.
Yes, but it gives you the courage to go through with it.
To keep moving forward.
Yeah, to keep moving forward, yeah. So when I feel fear, let's talk about the tattoo. I have an eagle on my, tattoo of an eagle on my, what do you call this part here? Oh, forearm, yes, just below my elbow on the inside. And when I was in Thailand last year, I was loving it. I was in Koh Tao, I was diving, I did a dive cert, snorkeling, lots of fun time. And then I rang my friend and I said, hey, Mark, how you going? And he said, oh, I'm good, good. And I was like, oh, I'm in Thailand. And he goes, you should do a Vipassana. And I was like, what? I was like, what do you mean? What are you doing? And like when I was in New Zealand, I was always kind of lining up a Vipassana to do up north, and it never worked out with work and everything like that. So it was already in the back of my mind. And he was like, oh, there's some amazing ones in Thailand. And I was like, okay, guys, jump online. So I jumped online to dharma.org, and I looked at the Vipassana's availability, and there was nothing. Everything was booked up. And I was like, oh, okay. There was one that was available. Well, not available. It was like waitlist shortlist. And it was in Jakarta. And I was like, oh, gosh. All right, well, I thought, okay, well, I'll just apply for it anyway. I probably won't get in, like, no problem. I'll just apply and see how I go. Anyway, 3 days later, I get a response back from them saying, oh, yeah, response back from them saying, oh no, one day later I get a response back saying you've been shortlisted for the wait list. No, shortlisted from the wait list. I was like, cool, okay. And then 3 days later I get an email saying you've been accepted, you need to be in Jakarta at 7th of July, I think, and yeah, and we'll pick you up from the airport and everything. I was like, what? Like everything just happened. Like it always just happens because I'm always just like, okay, I'll go do that or I'll do that.
Well, it sounds like vegan vibes. You just put it in. And
yeah, yeah, just whatever happens, happens. Whatever's meant to be will be. And so I did, first of all, I was like, well, what am I doing? Like this is this beautiful island and here I'm going to go and sit for 10 days in silence, not being able to talk to anyone. So I went out on the beach and I was walking down to the water and I again, checking in with myself. What am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? Like, what? Why should I be doing it? Should I be doing it? Asking me all these questions. And I looked up and there was this big eagle circling around my head, like not far above me either, like it was very close, and I was just like, whoa. For me, an eagle is a messenger, carries a message. And at that point I looked over to the shoreline and I saw this local guy just standing there just shaking his head. I was just like in disbelief of what's happening right there in front of his eyes. And I was like, is this normal? And he was like shaking his head going, no. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Well, so after that, I went and got my little tattoo and I went and did the Vipassana in Jakarta. But I felt a lot of fear going to very much a Muslim place and not very safe. And I had asked a lot of my friends, you know, what do you reckon I should do? I've just been accepted for Vipassana in Jakarta, and they were like, oh, it's very dark, and you know, like it's not a fun place to be, and there's a lot of like, you know, sort of lower vibrational energy there and everything. And I'm like, oh god, great,
thanks.
But I felt the fear and I did it anyway. Like I said, fear is courage becoming known. So I had the courage to move forward with it and forget about the fear and just move forward with it. And it's one of the best things I've ever done in my whole entire life. And like people will listen to that and go, wow, sitting for 10 days in silence. Like this was like the structure of getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 hour meditation sit, then some breakfast, and then after breakfast another hour determination sit. So that was something that you could not move in. Then a break, and then another 2 hours, and then another determination sit, and then another 2 hours, and then the discourse with Gwenka himself, or not himself, but on the screen, and he was telling us, you know, like what we should be experiencing, what we're doing and why we're doing it and everything like that. And that went on for 10 days. And we only had 2 meals a day. We lived with someone else in the room, but we weren't allowed to talk to them. No eye contact, wow. No gestures, no nothing. And me coming from a background of hospitality, sales,
you had to restrain yourself, eh? Yeah.
Well, I thought that. Everyone was like, oh my God, Bizzy, you won't be able to do that. What are you talking about? You can't shut up. And I'm like, you know what? I can. And when I want to become silent and quiet, I can. And I did. And a lot of people don't make it. A lot of people leave within 3 days. And then that's just when you're starting to learn the actual Vipassana. Like after that 4 day, or in that 4 day moving forward, that's a totally different practice. And yeah, I did it. And I was like, wow, I actually did it. I sat for 9 hours, 10 hours each day in silence. What I learned from that is that I can do it, and anything that I put my mind to, I can do. The ego and the fear and the fear of failure is a massive thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I kept on coming up against every time I wanted to start something new. So with Bite Me NZ, oh my gosh, I've had so many different ideas of what to do. Like, it would always bite me in the ass, the fear of failure. And I was like, looking at my tattoo, feel the fear and do it anyway. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Yeah.
Fear is courage becoming known. You know, like, and I would just drill this into my head. Trust and know. Trust and know. And when I say trust and know, you trust that you know, because you do know. And when you are able to trust yourself in the knowing, then it will all be great.
Trust and know.
Not know and trust. Trust and know. And I think that's really important that they are said like that, because you have to trust within yourself to know, if that makes sense.
So it's like a surrendering, like trust is like surrendering.
Trust that you have got yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have it all inside of you. Everyone has it all inside of them. It's the ego. I don't like to talk about the ego because everyone's like, it's the ego, it's the ego. But
it's
that little thing in your head that's like, no, you can't do this. Yeah, no, yeah. No, you're no good. No, this is going to fail. This is going to fail. But failure is not trying,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, the real failure is when you don't learn from the failure. It's when, yeah, there's no learning, where you're going nowhere. Whereas if you move somewhere from that failure, it's not a failure, it's a learning. You've actually grown.
Yes.
That's called growth. Oh, I failed at this business. No, you grew from it. Yeah. Oh, I failed at this relationship. No, you learned from it.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we go into relationships to learn things. And, you know, like, if it's a relationship that doesn't continue on, we have learned things from it. And that helps us grow and become more stronger in our own selves.
If you're able to process the losing, yes, of that relationship, which is like, it's the same with grief. If you can process grief, someone or something you've lost, then you can move on stronger. Whereas if grief gets stuck, if you get stuck in grief, you turn into depression.
Yes.
And if you get stuck in this, oh, this relationship, I don't want to lose it, that you just go round and round, and you never grow, you never learn. And maybe you just get the same relationship with another person, and it goes on and on, karma, until you learn.
Yeah. So the one thing that I learned also, well, not the one thing, I learned lots of things from my relationships, but the one thing that stood out for me was after the dust had settled a little bit and, you know, like the soreness wasn't there, the hurt, the real hurt, the stinginess of the, like, oh, I resent you, you suck, you know, like, I hate you, all that sort of stuff. Once that had kind of come through, then I went back to them and I said, let's sit down and talk about what actually happened in our relationship and how we could have done things better and how we actually felt in that time, because we learn from that.
Yeah.
And I was like, with my ex-partner of 4.5 years, the one that I, after we broke up, I went and did the ayahuasca. It was like, we sat down and I was like, how were you feeling at that time? And he told me, and I was like, why didn't you say that to me? You know, like, then there was so much there that I didn't know. So much in the background that he was going through with his family and pressure and all that sort of stuff. And it was a great learning for me. Absolutely. And I think that for everyone out there, if you can finish that relationship it might not be on a good note to start off with, but if you can go back there and talk about what happened in that relationship and how you were feeling and why it happened, then you will learn so much from that.
Yeah. So fear is all about learning.
Yeah.
Or fear of failure, at least.
Absolutely. So the fear of failure or failing for me with the food stuff, and I just always was like, no, just staying on the ground. It's staying on the ground. It's not getting off. It's like just on like a plane, and you're just like, meh, along the runway, and you're not actually taking off.
Yeah.
And that's what I was like with all of these ideas. I was like, yeah. And I was like, one day I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And I just took that one step, and it was scary. And I felt the fear, but I did it anyway. And like now it's like, if you look at my, I was just saying to you the other day, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so humbled. I feel so appreciated and just everything. Like all these people were just saying all these beautiful comments on my food and how I've really inspired them, and I'm an inspiration, and yeah, it's just it's incredible. And I never in a million years thought that that would be the result.
Now you make some beautiful creations,
and it all comes from the heart. Like it absolutely comes from the heart. Like I will intuitively cook. I can't really be a baker, because
I've seen you bake. That is true. You are more of a baker artist.
Yeah, like I'll throw a bit of baker. This and a bit of that in, and it will just go, no, because that's not the chemical balance. So things will flop, or things won't rise, or things will be stodgy, or whatever. But that's
the learning.
That's the learning. But with the cooking, yeah, I just feel that I'm in the right place, where I need to be, and creating these dishes and sharing them with the community and my friends and family and everyone else that wants to follow me on Instagram, because I never did it for like followers or Instagram fame or whatever. What do you call those people?
Influencers.
Influencers. No, never did it for anything like that. On my Instagram is like, I just create whatever I want when I want. And people wanted to see it, so I just put it up there. But yeah, it's been incredible how people have just really been inspired by it, and that's so cool. Like, so cool. Yep,
definitely recommend looking it up. It's colorful. It's food porn for the eyes. I've been fortunate enough to taste some of these blessings, but yeah, definitely looking forward to vegan vibes.
It's got love, and it's got passion in it, in every dish. And if I make something that doesn't, I don't think I have, because I just enjoy, like, you know, I've got some sweet potato kumara in the cupboard, and I'm going to make some sweet potato brownies. And it's just like, it's a little bit crazy, but it works. And I've made them and they taste amazing.
And they're vegan.
And they're somewhat healthy, because they've got cacao in them, they've got kumara, and they've got no flour. Mm. So it's like, it's not a stodgy binder, and they're light, and they're a good little snack, little treat for people. Yeah.
Yeah, what would you say to someone who doesn't really cook, or, you know, is not really familiar with the kitchen? Where would someone start? What's something simple? a dish or where can someone start getting into cooking for themselves? Because to me, one of the biggest skills we've lost today, and we should have it, every human should know how to cook for themselves or cook food.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't, because we just buy, we outsource takeaways or these delivery services. So to me, it's a bit of a shame that we've lost that, we've disconnected from that. Yeah, so what's something someone can do to
something
get
simple.
Back into the kitchen?
So we're looking at something that's vegan, something that's not an animal byproduct or got meat in it and still super tasty and somewhat healthy. And that would be like a pesto pasta. So you get any pasta you want. I use a Kenwa Spirals. That's really nice. Like, so it's gluten-free.
Yeah.
Kenwa Spirals. And you chop up some garlic and some onion and some ginger. This is like kind of like my start on everything. Garlic, onion, ginger, turmeric. Not turmeric in this one, though, but garlic, ginger, and onion. Chop that up, finely slice, and throw that in the pan with some oil. Or some coconut oil or some ghee, whatever you want. If it's ghee, then it's not obviously vegan, but some people like to cook with ghee. Fry that off. And then what you want to do is, if you've got like a NutriBullet or a blender, throw some coconut cream and some leaves of basil into it. So you're making your own pesto. You're not buying the pesto. And you can throw some almonds or some pine nuts in there if you want, but you don't have to. Bit of salt and pepper, bit of lemon juice, and whiz that up until it turns green. You're cooking your pasta in the pot at the same time, so you put that on the same time as you're frying your food. And then what you want to do is add some like vegetables to the pasta, so like maybe some broccoli, some courgettes, and
so this is going in with the garlic, onion,
yeah, so ginger. That you cut that up and then you throw the courgettes in, because they'll take a little bit to cook. And I would blanch the broccoli. I don't like to cook broccoli that much. I like to just cut it up quite small and then put some hot water over it, put a lid on it and keep it, set it for like a minute.
Yeah.
And it just like blanches it. And then so you've got your courgettes, your onion, your garlic and your ginger in the pan. And you're cooking that away, and then you add the coconut cream with the pesto into the pan. So you're letting that reduce a bit. And then you throw your broccoli in, and then you let that reduce a bit. And when I say reduced, it just gets a little bit thicker. Add some cracked pepper and a little bit of salt. And then get your pasta, you drain it and rinse it. And then throw the pasta into the coconut cream. And then you want to finish off with some leaves of spinach and just throw that in, stir it all around, and voila, there's your pasta. Just like that.
Yep. No store-bought sauces, just homemade. And it is simple, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I do use canned tomatoes, so I use organic when I can.
Mm.
And I add to that. So, like, for a Italian kind of more of a bitey sauce, like tomato sauce, I would, giving away my recipes here, but that's okay. So the garlic, and what I would do is put some balsamic vinegar in the sauce and reduce that, and it gives it more of a bitey, tangy kind of taste. Throw some olives and some capers in there with your onion and garlic. Throw that all together and then add the can of tomato and the balsamic vinegar and reduce.
Yep.
And then just salt, pepper to taste, and you've got an amazing bolognese sauce there. Not like out of a jar that you just tip in there.
Yep. Yeah, because a lot of that stuff has additives, preservatives.
Sugar.
Yep.
A lot of sugar.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can buy some healthy pasta and canned tomatoes and make your own.
Yeah, so that pasta, that pesto coconut cream one can go either way.
Mm.
You know, you could still use zucchini, broccoli and spinach for the tomato-based one.
Right.
It's like a real just basic way to, you know, get some good healthy veggies and have a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Without, like I looked in the supermarket, and when I look in the supermarket and I see all those big bottles of bolognese sauces and things like that, I'm just like, Why? Because it's laziness. Mm. It's convenience, it's laziness.
And it's not knowing.
And the not knowing.
So awareness, not just of self, but of what you need and what your kitchen needs. And
yeah. So I always have garlic, ginger, turmeric. Fresh.
Yeah.
Always have that in my fridge and in my cupboards.
I think you're starting to turn yellow.
The brightening, the glow, the brightening glow of the turmeric.
The anti-inflammatory glow.
Honestly, turmeric is so good for you. Good for you. I think it's only just coming out now how good it is. But in Ayurvedic medicine, you know, they would put it all in their curries.
Mm.
You know, we're starting to do this turmeric latte, so the golden goodness that I blend together. It's a beautiful way to be getting turmeric into your body, and it's tasty.
Yeah.
And you can add a bit of maple syrup if you want. The key ingredient there is obviously the turmeric. And then with the cracked pepper, the
black pepper.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, the cracked black pepper. It helps the turmeric absorb into the body faster.
Of course, in the West, we like to isolate and reduce things down to its little, you know, distinct parts. So with turmeric, they've got curcumin.
Curcumin
extract that you can buy as a supplement. But then I know whole foods will always be the supplement.
Yes.
And there was, I think, I don't know if it was a paper or science study that I sent you, but, you know, it's shown that the whole food of turmeric is stronger than just the extract.
Yes.
And that's always going to be the case. It will always be the case.
And I don't know if anyone's like worked with fresh turmeric before, but it smells amazing.
Mm.
It's like a cross between a carrot and, what did I say the other day? It was cross between like a carrot and like some citrusy.
Mm.
It's just incredible. And the freshness of it. And in the Balinese culture, the Balinese cooking, they use turmeric all the time. It's like turmeric, lemon juice, ginger, garlic. And I made this dish the other night, a khichdi, which is an Indian dish. And then I made a Balinese sambal to put on top of it. Well, my own Balinese sambal, because I didn't have everything that I needed to make a real one. But, you know, chopped up, thinly sliced some red onion, some lemon juice, garlic, ginger, turmeric. I put in some fresh herbs, which, oh my gosh, just start growing fresh herbs because they're amazing for your salads and your pasta dishes, and they don't take long to grow, and incredible flavors that you get from them and beautiful health benefits. So I didn't even know what I was doing there with that sambal. I was just like, okay, well, I just want something a little bit tangy and a little bit citrusy to put on the khichdi, because it's like, khichdi, I don't know if you know about khichdi, but it's like an Indian dish, and it's Ayurvedic medicine, helps with the digestive system, so it's got all those beautiful spices and stuff in it. Yeah, so it was amazing. It tasted good. Like, it just worked so well together.
Mm.
So just experimenting, like, you can't do anything wrong. Well, if it doesn't work, just give it to the dog.
If it doesn't taste good, you know, then you've learned that whatever I've just done doesn't taste good. And it's not about this volume and measurement of ingredients. It's, does it taste good?
Yeah.
Because what I've noticed with you, Missy, is everything's Missy's version. And it always comes out great. Well, not always.
Yeah. No, I've had a few that haven't come out that great. The other thing that I love to make is baked oats.
Yeah.
And I've made a few of those over the past couple of days, and we made a peanut butter and jam one, and then a raspberry, coconut and ginger one, and they both had organic oats in them and coconut milk or coconut cream, chia seeds. I do a ginger, cinnamon, LSA, which is your
linseed, sunflower,
and almond seed, all grounded up. So you're getting some really beautiful health benefits in there. Some sesame seeds, organic coconut, raspberries. And so the whole combination of those oats, once you bake them in the oven, you can just cut it into squares and serve and grab and go the next day for breakfast. Yeah. If you're a grab and go person,
you can eat it on its own, put it in a bowl, add whatever milk you like.
We had beautiful organic kiwi fruit and Raglan coconut yogurt.
Oh, do you add banana to your baked oats?
Yeah, yeah. The actual moistness of the oats as well is through a couple of bananas that are mashed.
Yep.
If you want the recipe, send me a message on BiteMeNZ and I can send it through, but it's very basic. Like, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
And
but I was just thinking, there's so much prebiotic fiber, which is good for your probiotics in your gut.
Yeah.
It's massive. It's
and you can change the flavor so much. Like, I did a bounty one the other day. I've done an apple and cinnamon one, so like an apple pie. Just so many different ones. So, and it's super. And the great thing about it is you're mixing it in the same dish that you're cooking it in. So you do one dish and you just make it. Yeah. And mine lasts, well, when no one's around and eating it, mine lasts a week. So it's like, you know, grab a slab and off I go kind of thing.
The PB&J one lasts at least in 24 hours.
That was so popular. And that's just stirring in the peanut butter and jam, you know, on the top layer just before you put it in the oven.
Well, this has been a long chat, a good chat, a diverse chat, an insightful chat. Thanks for this, Missy. It's been really great.
Oh, I've actually really enjoyed it. I thought I was freaking out about it. I was like, oh my God,
what were you talking about? But you found your groove. You found your groove.
It feels like there's grooves all over the place. It's just like from one thing to another.
Mm.
I hope I wasn't too scattered on it all. And if anyone wants to ask me any questions or, I don't know, I guess just wants a bit of
inspiration on the food side.
Inspiration, yeah.
BiteMeNZ on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
BiteMeNZ.
Yes.
And come to Vegan Vibes.
Yeah, Vegan Vibes, 26th of October. So it's Labor Weekend in Mount Maunganui at Sopa Reserve, which is like in front of Rising Tide on Newton Street. So it's close to town and everything. There'll be a lot of people over for Labor Weekend, I would say. So, yeah, definitely come and see us. BiteMeNZ. I'll be serving up my nasi goreng pizzas. Jace will be there too.
Being of service, not eating the products at all. thanks, Missy. It was awesome.
You're welcome. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you once again, Missy, for that awesome conversation. It's been a fun, adventurous, nutritious, tasty time hanging out with you and learning about all the different ways that we can make food taste good, make you feel good. And yeah, so you're definitely an inspiration in my life. And if you'd like to be inspired by Missy's culinary arts and her dishes, look her up on Instagram, as mentioned, BiteMeNZ. And also, yeah, Vegan Vibes is just around the corner. So come say hi to her and try out her delicious treats. And I will leave you again with Missy's beautiful flute playing. But until next time, stay free, be yourself, know that you are loved, and that you are love. Kia kaha.